About choice. Get this going in a couple directions. One of the common phrases that we are all familiar with is chosen people. I believe it's a phrase that, I don't know who made it up, Am Nivchar, it's not in Tanakh, but the chosen people. And it's, by the way, a phrase that swings much more against us than in our favor, because it's something that we get accused both of clannishness and of sort of an internal sense of superiority as a result of that. But when you say chosen people, Am Nivchar, chosen by whom? So the obvious implication is chosen by God. So what does a choice mean? What does that mean? And the reason I'm asking it is because of the pasuk that's on top of page one, which is in the middle of a challenging and difficult passage towards the beginning of Parshat Shoftim. the really fourth parasha in Parshat Shoftim is what we refer to as Parshat HaMelech. It's all of seven pesukim. And it's the full second aliyah for Bali Kriya. And it starts off with the question, when you come to the land and you conquer it and you say, I want to place above me a king like all of the nations who are around me, then you get this phrase. And by the way, that opening is problematic. It makes it sound like the request for a king is a bad thing. And that leads to the huge machloket that really is anchored in the eighth chapter of Shmuel Aleph about whether there's a mitzvah to appoint a king or whether a king is some sort of a concession to the people. But here, the presentation is, Som tasim alech ha-melech, if indeed you want a king, then place a king above you, Asher yivchar Adonai Elohecha bo, one that Hashem chooses. Now the assumption of that is that there's going to be some indication that that king is God's choice. And that's where the Navi comes in, or some other oracle, some other way of knowing that this is the person that God has chosen. But the question is, what does it mean for someone to be chosen by God? Now, I'm not asking what does the Navi have to say or what kind of character does the person have to have, but what are the implications of being chosen by God? And we would think, perhaps, that a choice that's made by God is a permanent choice. So I want to take a look at the whole issue of choice as it plays out in several different parshiot in Tanakh, and specifically regarding four different choices that God makes, or selections that God makes. So the first one is, to set it opposed, is what bechira of a person means. And I'm not talking about the issue of free will, which is a piece which is anchored in a parsha in Dvarim, when in Enoch Noten Lefnecha Yom HaBracha Et HaChayim VaMavet UVacharta BaChayim, you should choose life, you have free will, that's the choice you should make. But rather, actual choices that people make. So the first choice that we actually find anybody making is in Breshit Yud Gimel, and it's a bad choice. Avram says to Lot, take a look, you go to the north, I'll go to the south, you go to the south, I'll go to the north. Instead, Lot goes east. Vayivchar Lot et kol kikar Yarden. Lot sees that the entire Jordan Valley, now where the Jordan River flows into, there's no potash there or anything at the time, is lush and beautiful. It reminds him of Mitzrayim, and that's what he chooses. It's a really bad choice because it's followed up by the pasuk, Vanshei Sodom Ra'im v'Chataim La'Adonai Me'od. The people are very bad, but he likes the area. He makes that choice. So the word bechira doesn't necessarily imply a wise choice or a good choice when it's one being made by people. Okay. There's another component to human choice, even when it's a good choice. And it's something which is set off as against God's choice. You find in passage 2 and passage 3, choices made by great people, one choice made by Moshe, one choice made by Moshe telling Yeshua what to do, and the other by Moshe himself, and that is the choice of leaders, but in the plural. So Moshe first tells Yehoshua, Bechar lanu anashim, choose men for us who are going to go fight against Amalek. Now these are good guys, and this is a good choice. However, notice that the choice made by humans is a plural choice, meaning a group of people. And the choice then, subsequently, it's almost immediately afterwards, when Yitro comes and sees Moshe judging alone, and he gives Moshe the advice that this is going to wipe you out, and you should create a judicial hierarchy, etc., and tells him what kind of people to pick. And Moshe, we are told, Vayivchar lo Moshe, Vayivchar Moshe and Shechayel, he selects men of value, men of worth, men of prominence, etc. So in other words, human choice, even when it's a good choice, seems to be a choice of group, of individuals who are there to support a system, as opposed to every time that we see God making a choice, it's always a choice of a single, of a singular. And one would be tempted to argue that the reason for that is that God's selection is God's reflection. I sound like I'm running for office. But that God's selection is God's reflection, meaning a reflection of God's unity is found in the selection that God makes. I want to point out four different choices or selections that God makes, and we'll see how they play out. The first one is, the most famous one, chosen people. Right? We're chosen people. Where do we find that notion? So the truth is, it appears throughout Sefer Devarim. In Moshe's speech, especially in the first part of the speech, when Moshe says that you're coming to this land, you have this special relationship, God selected you. He didn't select you because you're the biggest nation. He didn't select you because of your own righteousness. He selected you, A, because of a brit with Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. We're going to go back and visit that. And he also selected you because of the wickedness of the current nations that are there, and it's your job to disinherit them.
How does that jive with the Midrash that says that everybody else turned down Hashem?
That's talking about Torah. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the choice of selecting us as his people, right? That is very interesting Midrash that you bring up, Bill, because that Midrash in its earlier form actually has Hashem offering, by the way, already knowing in advance that the answer is going to be no,
right,
offering the Torah only to members of Abraham's family. Right? Yishmael, B'nai Lot, and Esav. Right? And never outside. The later Midrashim then expanded further outside, but the notion is it has to come to Abraham, which we're going to come back to. So the reason I'm asking this is because of something that actually, it sounds like right now, like it's just simply a philological thing. What does the word Bechira mean? But it's actually pretty profound. Let's go to sort of the red line here. What is the essential claim of Christianity vis-a-vis Judaism? The essential claim of Christianity is that they have superseded us. I mean, in other words, that God rejected us and instead took them, Israel of the spirit over Israel of the body. Is that our rejection of God's great gift, his son, etc., etc., then means that God rejects us, and it's what we call secessionist theology, and it is an essential staple of Christianity, right? Now, our response to that is that God never rejected us. Now, that plays out in several ways. In a polemic way, it comes out with our highlighting our sins as being the reason that God, our own sins as being the reason that God punished us or exiled us, sins meaning ben adam l'chaveiro, etc., as opposed to a rejection of Jesus. But on a whole other level, it cuts to the question of, well, when God makes a choice, is that choice forever or not? Which becomes a central staple of Maimonides' principles, is that the Torah as we have it is forever. Right? And so that we would assume that the choice is forever. Right? And if God selected us as his people...
Especially since the Torah says, by the way, if somebody comes one day and says not to listen to this, you're supposed to kill them.
Correct. But the other piece of the puzzle is, the assumption is that since it is God who made that selection, the selection is forever. And therefore the selection is not going
teams.
To... What?
Talking about teams.
Oh, there we go. Thank you, David. Yeah. So now, here's the problem. Well, if we premise... That's what I want to get to, exactly. If we premise the argument that God's selection is ipso facto permanent, and therefore when God selected the Jewish people as his people, I'm Israel, not Jewish people, I'm Israel as his people, then that means it's forever and it'll never be replaced and it's a permanent relationship, then how do you explain the opening pasuk of our piece, which is God will select a king And then we find that the very first king that God did select, where we have the word there, and we'll look, take a look at it, actually ends up rejected. And doesn't that throw everything else into a bit of a question mark? So that's what we want to solve. So the first thing is Bechirat Am Yisrael. So you find that exact word. What? Right now we're taking a look at source 4. We see that that several times, and this, by the way, is a small, sorry for the pun, selection from a lot of places where the word Bachor comes out, Bachor, to select, comes out in Moshe's speech relating to God's choosing us as his people. Ki am kadosh ata al Adonai v'lecha, bachar Adonai elorecha mikol liot olam skula. God chose you. So that's it. That's God's choice. Mikol amim asher al pnei adama. And then in the very next pasuk, lo mirubchem mikolim chashak Adonai bachem vayivchar bachem. God did not select you because you're the greater in number, rather you're smaller, but rather he selected you because of, first statement is, because of the avot. Which then takes us back to a different question, which is the selection of the avot.
We have a question. Where did he change his mind?
Change his mind about what?
Where you're premising this whole discussion on the fact that Hashem changed his mind with Malachim.
Right, correct. Where? We're going to get to it. We'll see. Where does he? I'll tell you in advance.
Yes.
Is that God does select? The word is used, selects, right. Shaul, right. And then God rejects Shaul later on.
It doesn't say we selected him ad olam.
So where do you get ad olam? That's the question. In other words, why do we say ad olam, eternal, when it comes to the right. choice of the nation? Right. We don't have the word bechira when it comes to the Torah.
Right.
We have bechira when it comes to Am Yisrael.
Right.
How, so if that's the case, and I'm going to show you one other counterexample, then where does it say Ad Olam, such that the choice of Am Yisrael is permanent, and it is absolutely permanent, so that we could say, no, he never turned his back on that, and yet he chooses a king and changes his mind on that.
Chosen in the Torah as the
yes,
people?
Yes.
Does the Torah say that if anybody ever comes and tells you any of this is no longer applies or is incorrect, or should be changed?
Not exactly. No. If somebody comes along and says to you, let's worship Avodah Zarah, then you don't listen to them. Okay? That's not the same. Not the same. All right? So we don't have that as hard text. No question as Masar we have it. As hard text, we don't have it. So let's take a look. I want to show you how this develops. And you have this phrase again, as you see in Source 5, and now want to take it back. Because that choice, Hashem himself says, is the choice because he chose your ancestors. And that's a phrase that we all know. It's in Source 6 from Nehemiah, but we all know it. We say it in Sukkot Zimmer every day. Atah Adonai Elohim asher bacharta bi'Avram. And just to put a little touch on it, there is actually a passage, because I suggested earlier that the difference between human choice, which is always seems to be a choice about things in the plural, like people that Yoshua chooses, people that Moshe chooses, and cities that Lot chooses. As opposed to that, every choice God makes is always a one. An individual, a place, a tribe, which is because of the individual. It's always the individual. And I want to suggest even further that the reason for that is that because God's selection is God's reflection. And therefore, the singularity or the unity of God's choice is a reflection, in a sense, of God's unity. Right? There's a famous piece we just ran into in Daf Yomi a couple days ago about the debate with dualists, where they argued that part of your body is created by this God and part of your body is created by that God. And the counter argument is, well, then how do the gods all get together and decide when you should die? In other words, that it's the unity of the human body that's a reflection of the unity of God. That's the subtle argument. And you find this passage in Yechezkel, where Yechezkel quotes the people as saying, Ben Adam Yoshvei Acharavot Ha'ela Admat Yisrael Omrim Lemor, Echad Haya Avraham. Now, Echad Haya Avraham is actually in the context of Kal Vachomer. If God gave the land to one, certainly gave it to us. But the phrase Echad Haya Avraham stands out a little bit as saying, Avraham is Echad, it's a reflection of Hashem Echad. By the way, that's not the only one, because Avraham's descendants, meaning we are called Mikamcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. As a matter of fact, in a beautiful passage, I didn't have room for all this, but in a beautiful passage, the Gemara in Brachot, Davav, says that God wears tefillin. What does that mean, God wears tefillin? The pall of parchments in the heavens would are not enough. If all the heavens were parchments and all of the seas were ink, we wouldn't have enough to write a commentary that would explain what that means. But God wears tefillin. And in, what does it say in God's tefillin, the Gemara asks? In our tefillin, it says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So what does it say in God's tefillin? Mikamcha Yisrael Goy Echad Baretz. It's a gorgeous, Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li. Today is the first day of Elul. Beautiful piece. And so the singularity of Am Yisrael is a reflection of the unity or the singularity of God. Beautiful. But then you get to the problem of, well, is that something that's negotiable? And the reason I mention that is because chosen place. And which is something we talked about last week in a different context, is Sefer Dvarim, Parshat Re'eh specifically, introduces a notion that then becomes prominent throughout Re'eh and Shoftim and Kitavo, and then ultimately in Sefer Shmuel. Ha'makom asher yivchar Adonai. And there's several formulations of that. The place that God chooses. The place that God chooses to make his name rest. The place that God chooses to place his name. The place that God chooses. But all of them then become that single place. What's that single place? And doesn't say anywhere in Dvarim where that place is. So if you don't know anything about Jewish history, and all you know is Tanakh, and you're reading Tanakh in order, what would you assume is that place? Shiloh. When Israel come into Eretz Israel, they conquer the land, and then they set up the Mishkan in Shiloh, and the Mishkan is there for a long time. It's there throughout the period of the Shoftim. So that's the place God chose. Guess what? God's choice gets changed. And it doesn't just get changed. Please take a look at passage 9. Passage 9. Take a look at passage 9. In passage 9, which is a vital thing to understanding the psychology of the people pre-Chorban, is the people walking around Yerushalayim when Yirmiyahu was giving the warning that if you don't better your ways, it's all going to be destroyed. And they're all saying, Hechal Hashem, Hechal Hashem, Hechal Hashem. It's God's house. He's never going to destroy it. What's Yirmiyahu's answer? Ki l'chuna el mekomi asher b'shiloh. Go see my holy place in Shiloh. Asher shachanti shmi sham barishonat. Place my name there. And then, ru'u et asher asiti. Asiti lom ne'ratam Yisrael. Look what I did to Shiloh, which means the selection that God makes is not permanent. God selected a place. We have it by name. Shiloh. We know the place. And then God rejected the place. And if you don't think he rejected the place, please take a look at what it says in Tehillim. In Tehillim, one of the longest Pirkei Tehillim, Ayin Chet, which is a historiography, really, presentation of the history, including seven of the Makot are there. It's a nice, interesting piece. Towards the end of it, Vayim'as be'ohel Yosef, he rejected Yosef's tent. Remember, where's Shiloh and whose territory? Ephraim's. Uveshevet Ephraim lo vachar. Notice, bachar and ma'as are presented as antonyms. Lo vachar, vayim'as. Instead, Vayivchar et Shevet Yehuda, he selected Yehuda, and what's that referring to? Yerushalayim in the Beit HaMikdash. So God selects a place, Shiloh, rejects the place, selects another place. So what's to say that Yerushalayim is forever? And why is it that when Yerushalayim was destroyed, we couldn't build Bamot somewhere else, like in Elephantine? Okay, that's got its own history. But why couldn't we build Bamot elsewhere? Why is it that the minute that David, the Shlomo, really dedicated the Bayit, that Yerushalayim is the end of the road? Mapitom. And the same thing with the king. And by the way, this is again going to raise the big question. If God will select a king, but then that king can be rejected in favor of another king, if God can select a place, and then the place can be rejected in favor of another place, why are we so sure that if God selected a people, that he can't reject in favor of another people? And we know he won't, but why? And based on what? Is it wish fulfillment? Is it because we want it to be that way? Not so clear. So the answer actually may lie in a third choice. We have one choice, which is the choice of the people, the nation. Another choice, which is can be sort of the question mark. Another choice is the choice of the place, which has been switched. We have a third choice, and that is God's chosen servants. Who are God's chosen servants? And again, the same, I'm not using anything where the word Bachar is not used. In this week's Parsha, it talks about the special gifts given to the Kohanim. And why are these gifts given to the Kohanim? In passage 11, Pasukei, Kivo Bachar Adonai Elohecha Mikol Shvatecha. God selected him from all your tribes, La'amod l'shareit b'shem Adonai v'nav kol hayamim. Which means God selected the Kohanim. Right. However, what happens in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel? You've got the Kohen Gadol whose name is Eli. And Eli has two terrible sons named Hophni and Phinehas. And what do we hear explicitly happen? Three times the text tells us. We hear it from Eli. Well, Shmuel has the Nevuah, then from, that's last, and Eli. And the Bisha Elohim comes, and what does he say? Take a look in passage 12. Did I not appear to your ancestors? Meaning, your Beit Avicha means yours, Eli. That's Aaron. I selected him. And guess what I'm doing now? I'm rejecting. Whoa, time out. Who am I rejecting? Not Aaron, but Eli. Meaning, one of the descendants. I'm rejecting Eli, and your household's going to be out. It will be another household of Kohanim that will take over. And that's basically Tzadok over Evyatar that happens when David dies.
But that's still like Aharon's kids.
Exactly. Thank you. Which means that the selection of Aharon is not challenged. But the particular selection, because it seems to say that I selected Eli, and now I'm rejecting Eli in favor of somebody else.
So yeah, but that's the question I was going to ask. Did God choose Eli? Because in the same thing for Shiloh, where do you show that he chose Shiloh?
Oh, very good. First of all, because the very fact Ma'im Aspo al Yosef, his rejection of it, is a response to his the possible selection. Second of all, they put the Mishkan there, and by the way, they brought all Korbanot there.
I'm not saying Shiloh wasn't a good choice.
No, Shiloh is Hamakom Asher Yifchar Hashem. That's Shiloh.
But you have text where he says Bahar Kivo Bahar, talking about Aharon.
Right.
You don't have text about choosing Shiloh.
Well, you do have text about Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, and then they come. You don't have, by the way, you don't have text about choosing Yerushalayim either.
No, I understand it, but I'm saying Bahar here.
Okay,
is specific.
I'm with you. I'm sympathetic to what you're saying. I'm going the same direction. It's very good.
That's fine.
Okay, oh, as long as that's fine. Okay, and by the way, this actually helps us in understanding, just as an aside, part of the dispute between Korach and Moshe. What did Korach actually say? Korach came, not the Tan Aviram, Korach. Korach's challenge to Aaron, right? Korach is challenging the selection of Aaron. What does Korach say? Korach says, Kol Aida Kulam Kedoshim, right? Why are you raising yourself above? What does Moshe answer? Because Korach is saying, evidently, that we should have a lot of selected ones. What does Moshe answer?
We're all there.
Either all being all of Levi, or all of Am Yisrael, or all of me, by the way. Right? But not just Aaron. Right? It's a challenge against Aaron. Watch the conversation. It's really, with this in mind, it's enlightening. Vayishma Moshe v'yipol panav, passage 13. Vayidaber al Korach v'al kol ha'tol emor. Boker v'yoda Adonai t'asher lo v'takadosh v'yikriv elav. Hakadosh, meaning Hashem will identify who is the Holy One and bring him close. V'yit asher yivchar bo yakriv elav. The one he selects, he'll bring close. Zot asuk chulach hamachtot korach v'chol adatot. Take fire pans, nuvayin eish v'simolayin tort. Put fire and incense in them. V'adonai machar v'ya ha'ish asheivchar. Ha'ish asheivchar, meaning the individual that God chooses. So the battle between Moshe and Korach is essentially between Karov and Bachor. Is it the one that God brings close or the one God selects? Moshe's point is God always selects one. God selected one nation. God selected one person, Abraham. Then God selected one son, Yitzchak. Then God selected one son, Yaakov. And then Yaakov becomes the selection. So the whole family is now part of that selection. Then among them, he selects one son, Levi, and among Levi, one family, Kahat, and among Kahat, one son, Amram, and among them, one son, Aharon, who is going to be the Kohen. Then it splits again, just like with Yaakov. All of Aaron's kids are in. So that selection, you're right, and why is that selection not up for grabs? Which is what Yaravam did by pointing other people. Okay, and that takes us to the king. But I want to actually put all of these together into one picture because there's something we're missing here that I deliberately left out. If you take a look at passage 14, it's the pasuk we already saw. The king that Hashem chooses, right? Now, how do I know that Shaul was chosen? Besides the fact that the Navi said, you're the Nagid, when at the second coronation, Shaul has three coronations, at the second coronation, which is when they do the lottery because they don't know who it is, and Shaul's hiding. Finally, they pull him out from where he is, and he stands up. Vayomer Shmuel kolam hariitem asher bachar bo Adonai. You see the one God chose? See how tall he is? See how striking he is? Right? Isn't he great? Bachar. And yet, what do we find very explicitly? We all know the passage. After the debacle with Amalek, what does Shmuel say to Shaul? Ma'as. God has rejected you. The same exact word we saw when it came to the rejection of Shiloh. God has rejected you. And then who gets chosen? David. Now, the selection of Am Yisrael, we say, is forever. The selection of Aharon, we say, is forever. The selection of Yerushalayim, we claim, is forever. And the selection of David, we claim, is forever.
Where did we get Yerushalayim from?
What?
Where did we... You mean,
oh, the very fact that once Yerushalayim is built, that's it. And nobody ever even attempts to try to create another center besides Yerevan, which is a political move.
But even though Shiloh was destroyed, Yerushalayim can never be destroyed in that context?
The selection of Yerushalayim is never revoked. Why not? So if you take a look in this last passage, which I think is the key to everything, to all of this, this passage is from Shmuel Bet Perek Zion. It is when David, having built his own palace, turns around to Natan and says, it's not nice. I'm living in a beautiful paneled house and Hashem is in a tent. And Natan says, go for it. And that night Hashem appears to Natan and says, time out. Tell David, not so quick. And what's Hashem's answer to David? He said, tell David, first I'm going to build your house. Then you're going to build my house. How am I going to build your house? You're going to have a son. You're going to die. He's going to take over for you. And then he'll build the house. And Hashem promises this to David, and David comes in a beautiful tefillah and thanks Hashem for giving him this promise of a dynasty. What essentially has happened is that Shaul was selected, but here's the bottom line. Every selection of a person is up for grabs because people can be good and then people can fall. And Haraya, Al Tamein Batzmachad Yom Motcha. You can't trust your own greatness till after you're dead, and then it's too late. Right? You can't say, well, I've been pretty good about things, and for now I can coast. You can't coast. People change. Sometimes people change very late in life. So the selection of a person is always subject to change. Because God's selection of a person is Basher Husham. Right now, Shaul's the guy. Guess what? A year or two later, Shaul turns out to be not the guy. He's too caught up in Korbanot as being an answer. He's taking Shavuot wrong. He doesn't understand his own leadership. Whatever the issue is, Shaul turned out not to be the guy. And so it's rejected. David is the guy. What makes David the guy forever? Hashem made a brit with him, and the brit was, you and your children will always be the ones to sit on the throne. That's what turns the selection into irrevocable. Let's go back. Hashem selected Avram. Where does that selection become irrevocable? When Hashem makes a brit with Avram. The brit makes the selection now a permanent feature of the landscape, not just, we'll see how you turn out, Avram. We'll see how things work out at the Akedah. What happens after the Akedah makes a brit. The brit means this selection is forever. He makes a similar brit with Yaakov. The Yitzhak brit really is just the brit I gave to Avram, I'm giving to you. I'm kind of passing it through you. But the brit he makes with Yaakov is a very firm brit about you and your kids being my people, and I'm going to be your God. So the selection of Am Yisrael is a selection fortified with a brit, which now makes it irrevocable. So no matter how much you mess up, I got you covered. The selection of Aharon is also a similar selection. There's a brit. Malachi bet, briti haitaito achayim v'shalom. The brit halevi, which is the Kohen there. Which Kohen? Exactly what you said, Jason. Which Kohen? That could change. You have a bad Kohanic family. Eli, switch it for another Kohanic family. That's fine, as long as it stays within Aaron's family. Exactly. Good. What about the king?
Wait, what about
Yerushalayim? I'm going to get to that. What about the king? So the king is a human being. But once the king gets a brit, David, then it's irrevocable. And even though, by the way, David had descendants who were extremely rotten. Achaz, Menashe. And yet, the breed continued with David, that we believe that that breed was even continued through the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel and Rebbe and the whole line of leadership being descendants of David. What about Yerushalayim? So, what gives a place its special nature? I'm moving very away from the Ramban's semi-mystical approach. What does it give that gives a place in its nature? The people of that place. After all, what's the end of Parshat Achrimot all about? The people behaved very badly, so they got thrown out of the land. It's the people who give the Kedusha to the place. What place did Hashem originally select? Shiloh. Shiloh is Ephraim. It was a selection of Ephraim. He rejects Shiloh in favor of Yehuda. And then he makes a breed with whom? With David. The breed with David then means not only are you and your descendants the kings forever, but it also means that your home is the capital forever, and therefore the place of the Shekhinah is where you've built it forever.
Where is that?
Yerushalayim.
No, I'm saying where is that?
What? It's that is the rest of Shmuel Bet Perek Zion, that's Tehillim Kuflam and Bet, that's parts of Divrei HaYamim. It's way too much for this page, but it's all within
us. You need all the three tokens to be on this.
Not all of them. Not all of them. But the very fact that Hashem has now made a breed forever with David, because it isn't the location of Shiloh. It's the people of Shiloh. Because look at what it says in Tehillim. It doesn't say Vayim Aset Shiloh. It says Vayim Aset Ohel Yosef Vayivchar Shevet Yehuda. It was Shevet Ephraim that he rejected in favor of Shevet Yehuda as being the preeminent Shevet that would be the ones that would house the Shekhinah and that the Shekhinah would rest in that place. How that works with the political considerations of putting Yerushalayim as the capital and right in between Yehuda and Binyamin is all what we call dual causality, which is a common theme throughout Tanakh, about man operating on his scale and God's plan being fulfilled through man's machinations. But the Bechira that we find, when it says in our Pasuk that the person that you're going to select is the person that Hashem has chosen, that choice is revocable. And it is. We see that with Shaul. But the minute that when there's one that Hashem has chosen and he makes a breed with him, that breed now becomes, and that selection now becomes irrevocable. So the four selections that we have, the selection of place became irrevocable because the selection of king became irrevocable, both for the breed to David. The selection of Aharon is irrevocable. He made a breed with Aharon. Which family of Aharon? That can change. The breed of Am Yisrael is absolutely irrevocable because it starts with a breed with Abraham and a breed he made with us at Har Sinai, which makes the Bechira irrevocable. The Bechira alone is always a reflection of God's singularity, but because it's with individuals, it can change because the individual can fall. The minute there's a Brit, even if the individual falls, he's supported by the Brit, and the Bechira continues.